to remind you that the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WRCT Pittsburgh and its members.
Hey there, folks. Glad you could join me for all the best, the smoothest of the smooth. The cool and gentle sounds of what we call jazz.
Good news to start with today. Today we have to start talking seriously. I mean, listen, I could lie to you. I could come to you and say 2022 is looking great for Democrats. It's looking great for the left. But it's not. 2022 is looking disastrous. And we're going to look at every data point, the most data points that we have now. And then I'm going to talk about what could change the direction of 2022. But it's not looking good. Democrats are, if nothing changes, and that's a key part of it, if nothing changes, Democrats are heading towards a possibly historic crushing by Republicans in the 2022 midterms. Now, historically, when one party takes the White House in the immediate first midterm, it's not typically great for that party. So because Joe Biden took the White House from a Republican in 2020, we would expect it's not pointing to being great for Democrats in 2022, but it's looking particularly poor. Now, there are some Democrats that are sounding the alarm, and it's angering some on the left, even if they're basically right in what they're saying. Elizabeth Warren is one such Democrat. Elizabeth Warren now on multiple shows appearing and saying Democrats are going to lose in 2022 if we don't deliver more. Elizabeth Warren delivered a warning on Sunday saying if they don't get up and deliver while their party has the majority, they will lose. Quote, there's so much we can do. And if we do it over the next 200 days, we're going to be in fine shape. Take it to the people what we've done. I think we're going to be in real trouble if we don't get up and deliver. Then I believe that Democrats are going to lose. Now, what she's saying kind of like generically is fine. If we do stuff people like, we'll win, and if we don't, then we're going to lose. But she's increasingly using this language because she sees the writing on the wall. And what is the writing on the wall? Well, every sign looks bad for Democrats, and we can go through some of them. First and foremost, how popular is Joe Biden? Now, there are some headlines that say, oh my God, Joe Biden in the low 30s approval. We look at an average of polling, and if you look at an average, Biden's approval has ticked up just a hair from like 41.5 to closer to 43 over the last month. But it's not good, and we've looked at these historical numbers before. If you compare Joe Biden to past presidents, he's now as unpopular as Trump was at this point in Trump's presidency. He's less popular than Obama. He's less popular than George W. Bush. He's less popular than Clinton. He's less popular than George H.W. Bush. Slightly less popular than Reagan. About as popular as Jimmy Carter. Okay, so we're going back really far now to find a president that at this point in their first term was this unpopular. In a sense, midterms are a referendum on the president, whether they should be or not, and so that's not particularly good. If you look at a generic ballot, do voters want Democrats or Republicans in Congress? Right now, Republicans have about a 2.5-point advantage in a generic ballot. Now, the problem is that because of gerrymandering, which favors Republicans big picture at the national level, this small advantage for Republicans, which is growing a little bit, by the way, might significantly favor Republicans when it comes to the House because of gerrymandering. If we look at predicted is where you can bet on different elements of politics. The question, who will be Speaker of the House next Congress, which the Speaker is a member of the party that's in control, 70 cents of every dollar is going behind it being Kevin McCarthy, who will be Speaker of the House. And then 9 cents is going to Steve Scalise. Both are Republicans, meaning 79 cents of every dollar. In fact, it's more because Jim Jordan's getting 5 cents, and Donald Trump is getting 4 cents, and Elise Stefanik is getting 3 cents. So 79, 84, 88, 91 cents of every dollar are going to, it's going to be a Republican Speaker of the House. That's not good. Now, betting markets aren't polls, but that's the point. Betting markets are, where do I put my money when it comes to what I think will happen, not what I want to happen? Also unpredicted, what will be the balance of power after 2022? 75 cents of every dollar is going to, it will be both a Republican House and Senate. So these numbers are not looking particularly good. And then lastly, the Politico forecast says the Senate is leaning Republican, whereas the House is likely Republican. So this is very, very, very bad. Now, could everybody be wrong? Well, I think the question is, could things change between now and when the people start voting, which is in just a few months? But something has to happen. Number one, there's this old phrase, it's the economy, stupid. And when you and I, if we soberly look at the economy, the economy is actually doing okay. Yes, there's high inflation, but it looks like it's peaking and it will start to decline. Gas prices have been high, but they're already starting to decline. Unemployment, we are very close to full employment. What about wages? That's always a question. But we are very close to full employment, if not there. The stock market, very shaky, and it could be on its way to a downturn, but the stock market is still nearly high, historically high levels. Most indicators are pretty good, but Americans don't know it. We just did a story a couple weeks ago about a poll where like a third of Americans think there have been job losses while Joe Biden has been president. There have been dramatic job gains under Biden. Now, of course, you can always say, are they quality jobs? And you can always ask those questions, but by the numbers we typically accept to look at, there have been massive job gains under Biden, and a third of Americans think we've lost jobs. So it's not the economy, it's the perception of the economy, and many Americans think it's not so good. The one thing I do want to mention, the Supreme Court very soon, could be weeks at this point, could be 4 weeks, could be more like eight. Between 4 and 8 weeks from now, the Supreme Court is going to make a ruling about a state abortion ban. And if they uphold, I believe it's the Mississippi law, it will effectively overturn Roe v. Wade, which has been the law of the land, making abortion legal in most cases for decades in the United States. It would be terrible if the Supreme Court did that. And I wonder, is that a catalyst that could really motivate Democratic voters to come out and say, we've got to do something about this? I don't want that to happen. I want the Supreme Court to make the right decision. But if they don't, and they effectively overturn Roe v. Wade, what will that do in terms of motivating Democrats to say, well, I have to go and support whoever it is at the state level, governor, Senate, even if I don't think Joe Biden's been fantastic, because this is so important. Women getting the right to decide for themselves what they need to do, taken away. So that's a question. I would love to hear from you. What else could happen between now and November that would change what are very grim numbers for Democrats? Let me know what you think. I mentioned in the last segment the name Kevin McCarthy. There is an unbelievable situation going on with Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy is the House Minority Leader. He's a Republican. Republicans are in the minority for now in the House, and Kevin McCarthy is their leader. Now, it wouldn't be shocking, because of what we know, that people like Liz Cheney, in the aftermath of the January 6th riots, were talking about, can we invoke the 25th Amendment to remove Donald Trump? Should we demand that Donald Trump resign? That's Liz Cheney. We know she doesn't like Trump. But Kevin McCarthy is a guy who is the uber Trump loyalist. And reports started coming out last week in the New York Times that Republican House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy was going around in the aftermath of the Trump riots saying, Trump should resign, Trump should resign. In response to that report by the New York Times, McCarthy denied the entire thing. And this is such a brilliant series of events. So New York Times reports it, McCarthy denies it. He puts out a statement saying, the New York Times reporting on me is totally false and wrong. It comes as no surprise that the corporate media is obsessed with doing everything it can to further a liberal agenda. This promotional book tour is no different. If the reporters were interested in truth, why would they ask for comment after the book was printed? The past year and a half have proven that our country was better off when Trump was in the White House, and rather than address the real issues facing Americans, the corporate media is more concerned with profiting from manufactured political intrigue from politically motivated sources. So he denies that he ever said, we gotta look at Trump resigning. And then Rachel Maddow got the video. The audio, I guess I should better say. After Kevin McCarthy said, oh no, I never said anything about Trump should resign, audio of Liz Cheney speaking to Kevin McCarthy, given to Rachel Maddow on MSNBC, proves it is all true. Listen to this conversation.
I'm here. Thanks, Kevin. I guess there's a question. When we were talking about the 25th Amendment resolution, and you asked what happens if it gets there after he's gone, is there any chance, are you hearing, that he might resign? Is there anything to think that might happen?
I've had some few discussions. My gut tells me no. I seriously thinking of having a conversation with him tonight.
Okay, that's Kevin McCarthy saying, I'm thinking about talking to Trump about resigning tonight. He denied that this ever happened. Here it is on tape.
Talked to him a couple days. From what I know of him, I mean, you guys all know him too. Do you think he'd ever back away? But what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to call him. This is what I think. You know, it'll pass the House. I think there's a chance we'll pass the Senate even when he's gone. And I think there's a lot of different ramifications for that. Now, I haven't had a discussion with the Dems that if he did resign, would that happen?
So what I'm understanding this is initially, they were talking about the 25th Amendment, but that's something the cabinet does. My understanding is now McCarthy is saying, if he were to resign, would Democrats agree not to impeach? That's my understanding of this part.
Now, this is one personal fear I have. I do not want to get into any conversation about him pardoning. Again, I mean, the only discussion I would have with him is that I think this will pass, and it would be my recommendation that he should resign.
It would be my recommendation that he should resign. So just caught. McCarthy was lying. He said, I never talked to Trump about that. He said, I never said I was going to talk to Trump about that. I never said he should resign. And there he is on the recording saying, I think he should resign. The reporters have even more. Check out this piece of an interview from the Rachel Maddow Show.
So just to underscore this, just to be clear, Mr. McCarthy and his office have denied that he said he was going to call Trump and tell him to resign. You have it on tape. We just heard that he in fact said that. He has also today denied that he called four members of his own caucus, other House Republicans, to have their social media access cut off. You've also got that on tape.
That's correct. And we have a lot more on tape from this period, which is at the highest levels of American politics. It is sensitive, it's delicate, and it's high stakes, and we have it all on tape. And it's going to, I think, tell a very different story about this period than the story that many people are trying to tell right now.
There's another recording that they have where McCarthy says, I've had it with this guy speaking about Trump.
All right, I know this is not fun, I know this is not great, I know this is very tough, but what I want to do, especially through here, is I don't want to rush things, I want everybody to have all the information needed. I've had it with this guy. What he did is unacceptable. Nobody can defend that, and nobody should defend it.
Okay.
So that's pretty remarkable stuff. Now, eventually, after all of the claims that Kevin McCarthy made about the New York Times article were refuted by audio, reporters finally got to McCarthy and they said, okay, so like, they got you, right? And McCarthy shifts the goalposts and he does it pretty smoothly. See if you can pick it up.
Congressman, have you spoken with President Trump recently? Did you speak with him last night?
I know, I spoke to him twice today. I just spoke to him an hour ago.
How was your conversation? Did you talk to him about the New York Times report and the conversation you had about potentially asking him to resign?
Because the conversation here is what they said we did, we never did. I mean, I never asked President Trump to resign. We both talked about that.
So this is the key point. We don't even need to watch the rest of the video. McCarthy goes, I never asked Trump to resign. Now, that may well be true. But the claim initially was McCarthy said Trump should resign, and McCarthy denied it. And he's on audio saying Trump should resign. McCarthy wants to say something different, which is, I never asked Trump to resign. That's not what he originally denied. Now, does this make Republicans look better or worse? One perspective is, this makes Republicans look better. They're not that crazy. They saw how bad Trump was, and they wanted him to resign. I say this makes them look worse, because what I understand is they saw how bad Trump was, and privately they knew that this guy had to go and he was a danger, but publicly they insisted everything's fine. Trump's great. He's the greatest president. We support him. They publicly supported a guy that they knew was bad for the country merely for their own political benefit. So I believe this makes them look worse. Now, last thing. It's great that this is coming out and everything, but why did it take a year for this stuff to come out? As usual, it's the authors holding stuff in order to sell books. And I understand why they're doing it. I understand the financial incentive. But for the country, it would have been much better if these tapes came out in real time. These conversations, some of them happened on January 10th. I'm not saying that if they came out on January 10th, maybe the reporters didn't have them on January 10th. But if instead of a year later or more, we knew in the moment that Republicans were saying Trump should resign, it actually might have pushed him to resign. I'm not saying it would have, but it would have at least have had a shot. And now it's 15 months later, 16 months later, and we're learning about it now. That's not new. That's how the business works. Incredible stuff about Kevin McCarthy. And what else will we find out in the next week? Send me your thoughts. Find me on Twitter at dpacman. The David Pakman Show is a viewer and listener-supported program. We depend on the membership program to fund our show. Many of us who have cable subscriptions unthinkingly give $3-4 every month to Fox News just through our cable subscriptions. I would invite you, consider a couple bucks to the David Pakman Show by signing up at joinpakman.com and using the coupon code WOW22. Back in early March, at the start of the Russian invasion of Ukraine, I did a story called Could Putin Be Terminally Ill? And the story, it garnered great interest, about 250,000 views on YouTube, another similar number on Facebook. And as I said at the time, it was a speculative story. We're trying to make sense of an invasion that appears to make no sense. Vladimir Putin's face was pudgy. Could he be on steroids for some medical condition? Could it be a reason for rambling and aggression? And many of you agreed, yeah, I mean, maybe it is, but it remained quite speculative. There is now much more pressing speculation about Putin's illness after a new video of Vladimir Putin has been released. We have this video which we're putting up on the screen. This was a meeting that Putin had with his defense minister, Sergei Shoigu. And in the video, Putin is visibly gripping the table in front of him, apparently for support. He looks pale. He looks bloated, even more bloated than he previously looked, and he grips the table for basically the entire 12-minute video that was released by the Kremlin. And the idea is that he's gripping it to avoid some kind of tremor or shaking from being visible. But if he's doing this with his right hand. If you look at his left hand in the video, it is very shaky and moving around in what some are describing as a kind of unusual way. It doesn't seem deliberate. Putin's kind of hunched back on the seat back, and he's regularly tapping his toes in a way which it might just be a tic. It could be indicative of something Parkinsonian. It could be a side effect from the medication. Professor Eric Busey, who's a body language expert from Texas Tech University, said the face looks clearly bloated and that there's a general unhealthy appearance. And meanwhile, the unconfirmed rumors about Putin being in treatment for cancer continue to be published by various media outlets. They are not confirmed. But it's hard to argue at this point that Putin seems healthy. Now, the Kremlin has denied allegations that Putin's health is a problem, but the speculation has included prostate cancer, thyroid cancer, Parkinson's or something Parkinsonian, tardive dyskinesia is usually a side effect of medication, wouldn't tell us the underlying situation, but it's something else that's being mentioned. Now, why does this matter? Well, it matters because circumstantially, this relates to the invasion of Ukraine, in that if Putin were very ill, if Putin were terminally ill, it almost would be more sensible that he might be trying to go out in a blaze of erratic aggression meant to reconstitute the Soviet Union and being seen as a martyr for Mother Russia. And as crazy as that sounds, it makes more sense than just like, he decided to invade Ukraine. I mean, that it makes no sense in thinking in a logical way. Now, this is one of those, you know, it's a low probability but high risk event. If this is really what's going on, if this is an erratic, unhinged Putin on his last leg as far as his life goes, not his political life, and he thinks, hey, I'm going to die soon, what's the downside to using nukes? If that's the state of mind that he's in. And again, this is speculative, but it is fueling the conversation again about is anybody thinking of an assassination attempt? And as I've said before, when we talk about intelligence for high-level Western countries, they are supposed to present all options. And so without saying anybody's thinking of assassinating Putin, it is without a doubt that when intelligence heads sit down with heads of state, they give every option. And so it is almost a certainty that could it even be done when it comes to assassinating Putin has been discussed. When we say all options are presented, they present all options. So you found questions about Vladimir Putin's health. He doesn't look good. Will we ever really know the truth? I have absolutely no idea. Failed former President Donald Trump did a rally this weekend in Ohio in support of vile Republican candidate for the Senate, J.D. Vance. Now, very often when Trump does these speeches, we go through the entire speech looking at little bits and pieces. I'm not going to do that today. Today, I want to take a different approach. I'm going to focus in on two specific rants, rants that only a very delusional and unhinged person would ever deliver. Now, don't be confused. Trump did all the normal stuff that he does at these rallies. He claimed he won in 2020. He says socialists have taken over the Democratic Party. He says mail-in ballots are fraud. He did all of that. But I want to focus on two areas that are so absurd that they're almost comical. I've told you before how Donald Trump has seemed obsessed with water pressure, plumbing, and toilets. And many of you think that that's a joke, but he really is. And he went on one such rant. Now, I'm going to do something that I don't normally do. I'm going to play the whole toilet rant for you together just to give you a sense of how sick this guy is. Stick with it. It's minutes long, but that's the point here. This is what he's doing at a rally.
I said, we're going to do something about it. And we did that with many industries. But that one, I went up to the Whirlpool factory where they make it, and it was incredible. And that's washers, dryers, all of that stuff, the dishwashers. And then we changed some rules, too. You know, I said, what's the problem? Can we help you? Well, they don't give us any water for the dishwasher. What does that mean? That we don't have enough water. You know, the ladies, usually mostly the ladies in some cases, just to protect myself.
As far as Trump knows, it's usually women washing dishes.
In some cases, the men. Okay? He'll say, it was a terrible thing he said. He said, only the ladies want. No, no, there's some men out there, too. They're not so happy about it either. But in the dishwashers, as an example, they had a little problem. What was the problem? They didn't give you any water. And there was so little water that you couldn't wash the dishes. So what do people do? They
this is an issue Trump knows a lot about.
They can do it again, do it again, do it again. So by the time you do it 10 times, the dishes are finally there. You've wasted a lot of electricity, and you spend more water than if you did it right. So I had a regulation where I let you have all the damn water you want for your dishes.
Now, of course, this is all a lie. Like, I have one of these, you know, modern dishwashers that doesn't use a lot of water. I don't even have to scrape the dishes. I mean, they come out perfectly every time.
And the same thing for your clothing. Same thing for your clothing, for your dish. For your dishwashers, great, but for your washers and dryers, in the washers, they had no water coming out. And I just asked these simple questions to the head of Whirlpool. Who the hell knows better than him? I said, you have a problem? Yeah, the problem is there's not enough water. I also did it, by the way, for your sinks. You ever go to a new home, you buy a nice new home because of the Trump policies, homes were going up like crazy. By the way, I hate to tell you, the stock market dropped over 1,000 points.
Free association of ideas all over the place, but he eventually gets back to his favorite, which is toilets.
On Friday. Lots of luck, everybody. But you ever go into a new home and you turn on the faucet? And there's no water comes out. They have restrictions. And, you know, we're talking about places you don't have a water problem. A lot of states, most states don't have a water problem. In fact, you do have a water problem. You have too much water. You don't know what to do with it. So they have restrictors. So you're sitting there washing your hands. And you're, come on, water, come out, baby. I want to wash my hands.
I have to tell you. If this guy hadn't been president of the United States, like in a normal country where this guy wouldn't be elected, this would actually be hilarious. Like, this is hilarious, but they made this guy president.
I got rid of it. Same thing with showers. I'd go into a shower, and I'd go to a hotel that was new, and I said, I can't stay in these places. Why? The water just drips out a little bit slowly. I want to take good care of my hair. I don't want that. No, it's true. I mean, I put the soap in, it takes you 20 minutes to have the water come out to get the damn soap out of your hair. But, and I won't talk about the third element of a bathroom, because every time I do, the fake news only talks about...
Yeah, but when he goes, his real passion is toilets and flushing them 10 to 15 times, but he gets punished when he talks about it.
But you know what I'm talking about. One time, two times, five times, 10 times, no water comes out. So.
Can anybody in the audience tell me if you've had to flush a toilet 10 times? I mean, really, in all honesty, Trump is obsessed with this, and I don't know what he's flushing. We know sometimes he flushes secret documents. Maybe that's why he's flushing 10 times.
I totally took that out, and we made it so that when you have a sink, you can actually wash your hands normally, and you can take a shower, and you can do that other thing normally, right? The third element of the bathroom. So we did it with the dryers. We did it.
So guys, it's insane. It's a 3-minute rant about plumbing. Then Trump unprovoked brings up the dementia test. Okay? Starts out of thin air. There's no rhyme or reason. And again, we're doing this a little differently. This is the full dementia rant. And he's bragging about it. He thinks it's an IQ test. It's just meant to screen for serious dementia.
Dr. Ronnie and many doctors. And I aced it. And you know, now they don't call me stupid. They say he's a dictator. He wants to take over the world. You know, they used to call me JD. They said maybe stupid. So I said to Doc Ronnie, you know, Doc Ronnie's now a great congressman in Texas. Great, very popular guy. I think he won by like 52 points or something.
Right.
But he's now a great congressman. I said, Ronnie, I don't like when people call me stupid. I had great heritage, an uncle who was a great, great genius.
By the way, great heritage. I guess Trump thinks he's predisposed to be smart because his uncle was smart. I said, weird heritage. It's almost like saying he had good blood.
Father, who was a genius. Everybody, we have a lot of geniuses. I don't like being called stupid. Is there a test or something I can take to prove to these radical left maniacs?
Yeah, the test would maybe be an IQ test, even though that's questionable. Not just a dementia screen.
That I'm much smarter than them. Is there a test? And he said, sir, there is a test. It's called the X test. I said, what's it like? He said, well, it gets very tough. The first questions are easy. And the middle of the test gets tough.
Now, we all know it doesn't get tough. We've gone through the test. It's the Montreal Cognitive Assessment.
The test is quite tough, sir, actually. I said, well, what happens if I don't do well? He said, well, you know, it's at this great hospital. You know our great military hospital. We all know our military hospital. And the system is incredible, incredible doctor. So I said, Walter Reed, I said,
By the way, it's just a piece of paper. You don't even really need to go to a hospital to take this test. It's a single piece of paper.
Let me take it. He said, sir, here's the problem. If you don't do well, everyone's going to be reading about it on the front pages.
Now, of course, that's not true, because they would. If he didn't do well, they would just never talk about it.
He said, and if I do well, nobody's going to talk about it. That's the way it works with the fake news. They don't talk about it. So I said, he said, and other people are present while you're taking it, sir. I said, let's go, Dr. Ronnie, give me that goddamn test. I want to take that test. Give me that test, Doc Ronnie. So they gave it to me, and they started asking questions, and some, you know, around the third or fourth or fifth question, sir, name five things. They named five things alike. A group of people.
Now, Trump here is struggling to even do it. He's actually struggling.
Ohio. A fake teleprompter that I never end up using. And the fake news. Thank you, sir, very much. Thank you. Then they come back to you 20 minutes later, name the five things you named. And I hit it perfectly.
That's pretty tough. It's like a hole-in-one in golf. It's really tough to do.
They say nobody hits that one. And when we told that, you know, we told it on Fox. I hope Fox gets all straightened out.
All right, I really can't do anymore. Bragging about a dementia test and saying it makes him really, really smart. So a bizarre rally. One more clip. There were the normal glitches. Here is Trump struggling to say Dropbox.
No more Dropbox. Dropboxes are just so bad. No more.
All right. So listen, this is a guy who, if he was not president at one point, would be hilarious. This would be absolutely hilarious. It would almost be lovably hilarious. My dementia test, and I'm mad about flushing toilets. He was president, and he was using those toilets to flush secret documents, and it is absolutely horrifying. As I've said many times before, if there are no cultists, there really is no cult. It's just a guy screaming things that don't make sense and nobody's paying attention. In the United States right now, the level of cultishness that has pervaded the American right wing is getting to such a degree that even cult isn't appropriate, because cults are usually kind of small. And unfortunately, a big part of the modern Republican Party has been taken over by anti-empirical, anti-science, in some cases, paranoid delusions that we would ordinarily say, if they replaced God with some other word, or they replaced Republican with some other random person, we would say, oh, you need help. You're in a cult. We need to get you out. And we're going to look at some examples of that right now. This is very interesting. We've spoken before about this group, Blacks for Trump. And one of the questions we had about the group was, does the group really exist, because they have almost no online presence other than one very strange website? And Blacks for Trump is a group that often would show up at Trump rallies, and on the stage you would see, like, over Trump's shoulder, there would be like a strategically placed Blacks for Trump person with the shirt and everything. Often they would be gone before the end of the speech. Well, at Trump's rally in Delaware, Ohio over the weekend, Right Side Broadcasting actually interviewed one of these people from Blacks for Trump, and it's completely unintelligible. The guy is, like, really close to the interviewer and keeps touching him. Everything about this is bizarre. But finally, we have an interview with one of these members of Blacks for Trump. Check this out.
A person that comes to your aid, helps you all the time, and then when you really want to come to your aid, suddenly he's a racist. When he was the first one to say that black people matter to him, he said it directly to me. I'm sorry about that. He said it directly to me, and Miami Nights.
But he's done so much for the black community. And
sir, he did so much for the black community.
Right. So there is Blacks for Trump making a point about something of just a very strange situation. Then we move on to a woman at the Trump rally who explains that she believes Princess Diana and Jackie Onassis are still alive and tries to pull the interviewer into it. It is, I mean, listen, it's, I know we always say, well, David, is it, we can't diagnose, but something is very wrong with these folks.
Okay, first of all, y'all are so cute. I love the outfits. I would like detailed explanations on every single shirt. Ready, set, go.
Right? So, living, and we know living, ruling the world, and you don't take down evil by being quiet or silent, right? So people need to understand who they are. Do they look like them today? No.
You think Princess Diana is still alive?
Absolutely, 100%.
Do you? I didn't, but maybe you have something that you know that I don't know.
Well, you know God speaks to us, right?
Right.
There's ways
that they can agree on.
You can figure these things out. So if people start learning ABC 123, which Michael Jackson talked about how many years ago, right? And he sang about. So when people start understanding gematria, they start understanding the numbers, A equals 1, B equals 2, C equals 3.
Yeah, pretty open and shut case. Now, if you're wondering what gematria is, gematria is Hebrew numerology using the Hebrew alphabet, or is it known the Aleph Bet, where you're basic. It's like what you did as a kid when you make a code and you go, I'm going to write you a note, and like A is going to be 1 and D will be 4 and that type of thing. It's Hebrew numerology, and in my experience, now I don't want to, I'm sure there are scholars somewhere that would be exceptions to this. I have never in my life heard anyone use the word gematria or gematria seriously, and they weren't completely out of their minds. Maybe there's a counterexample, but I'm certainly not aware of one. Here's a woman complaining about critical race theory. Obviously, she doesn't know what it is. Like, forget that ship has sailed. It's not even reasonable to expect them to know what it is at this point. She doesn't know what it is. But it sounds like she says her kids go to private school where, like, they don't even teach whatever she thinks of as critical race theory. It's really weird, but she's very upset.
Private school?
Private.
Private.
So I was going to say, as a parent, what's your thoughts on what's going on of the indoctrination of our kids with some of their CRT and some of the other really radical things that are
really stressful.
She's really stressed. I mean, her kids go to a private school, so it's not a problem, but it's really stressful.
What they're trying to teach kids these days is just not right. You know, if it goes against God's word, then it's wrong.
It just should be as simple as that.
Yeah. Now, of course, there is separation of church and state and public schools, and so really God's word should have no role to play whatsoever. But very, very angry people about things which they don't understand and they aren't affected by. But there it is. Here's a woman at the Trump rally who said she had 10 Trump flags on her porch, and the host volunteers that it's un-American not to have flags.
Okay. We talked to him earlier about hanging flags. Let me ask you a question. In your neighborhood that you guys live in, your work, whatever, Trump's flag still flying?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
You haven't seen my front yard.
It never went down.
My porch?
This is literal cultishness. This is you are signaling your devotion. You're signaling your devotion. In some cults, right, the way you signal your devotion is the leader gets to have sex with whoever they want, right? So you look at the Jim Jones cult. You look at the Charles Manson cult. That was a big thing. You signal your devotion by, it was a bunch of stuff. You don't question what the leader tells you, and you're available to the leader for sex whenever. Here, the way they signal their devotion is we never took down our flags. We kept the Trump flags up the entire time.
And we said, if you want to find our house, look for the house flags.
Right.
We have 10 flags on our porch. Yes.
I just did a promo for MyPillow.com and MyStore.com because I said, if you don't have a flag in front of your house, hang on a second. You know what you're saying? I'm un-American, right? Put a flag in your front yard. You have to.
They demand compliance. You must have the signal that you are a member of the team. Here's one guy who says that Trump rallies are better than Grateful Dead shows.
I tell all my friends, I've seen Jerry Garcia 129 times in concert. It's better than any Grateful Dead show, and it smells a lot better. Go Trump!
Yeah. So listen, these folks, at least in theory, they could be your kid's orthodontist, they could be your kid's teacher, they might be the person fixing your car, or whatever, right? These folks really are everywhere. And I don't know how we deprogram them. One last bonus clip. There are opening prayers at these Trump events, and the prayers are getting more and more cult-like. They're praying in thanks for Trump.
For life, and we're grateful for the living legacy of President Donald John Trump. We thank you for his willingness to continue to organize and to travel across our nation, delivering the message of freedom, and to remind us, you and me, that we play a critical part in saving our nation. We thank you, oh God, for the clarity of purpose you have given to President Trump.
So I think you get it. Jamie Raskin, member of Congress, he says he has started reading about cults and consulting cult experts just for help on how to communicate with his Republican colleagues in the House of Representatives. That's how bad it has gotten. And I don't know how we teach our way out of it. I don't know how we educate our way out of it. I really don't. It's as depressing as I could possibly imagine. Mike Pillow, the CEO and founder of MyPillow, Mike Lindell, he was also at the Trump rally. This is the last element of the Trump rally we're going to look at today. He arrived in Ohio for the rally. He was completely out of breath. And he again seems to be talking about lawsuits against machines. Remember, he wants to sue every machine.
We're doing a class action lawsuit against all machines.
Yeah, I actually, I have a computer monitor that has gone into witness protection because it is very much afraid of this pillow lawsuit. Listen to this guy.
Yesterday was a historical day in the history of America.
Well, yeah, I mean, every day is historical. That's true.
We filed the first preliminary injunction in the state of Arizona to get rid of the machines once and for all. And that's the first of many, many. I want to do all 50. Carrie Lake and Mark Fincham were the plaintiffs. And the defendant is Katie Hobbs, the Secretary of State, and Maricopa County and Pima County County Commissioners and stuff. And our commissioners, I think they are. And this is so important because
It really sounds like any day now they're going to put Trump back in office. This guy has a following. Trump praises him at every single one of his rallies. Here he is talking about the masks on planes coming off have really reinvigorated a lot of people.
All the other judges, how would you like to have been a judge back then and have been the first one to step forward and have your family attacked or whatever? They lived in fear. But now, since we all know the evidence is there and everything, the judges are going to be brave. Remember that Donald Trump appointed over, I think it was almost 500 judges. Look at what one just did down in Florida. Was that amazing? They ordered the mask on the airplanes. It's beautiful, you know.
One judge to say.
And this is what's going to happen with these preliminary injunctions. The judges are going to start pouring it on, saying we can't have these corrupt machines. When you're in a country.
End machines. It must be it. By the way, why can't he out of breath, preliminary injunction? It's all bizarre. Here he claims Trump really won Ohio by 3.4 million, which would be an extra 500,000 votes for Trump. Where did those come from? We don't know.
In the great state of Ohio, the big lie, which is the big lie, they say Donald Trump won by 475,000 votes. And with your machines and with everything went on, you guys had supposedly pretty good voting rolls. Well, that's not true. Dr. Frank went over all your stuff.
By the way, for people listening, the reason Pillow's screaming is there's like a crowd that has kind of gathered to listen to him.
In the state of Ohio, Donald Trump really won 3,400,000 to 2,430,000. That's another 500,000 votes that were stolen from
him. So that's completely made up. And then lastly, here is Pillow actually addressing the rally crowd, and here he says, we've got to get back to God.
we're living in the greatest time in history because everything's getting revealed. When we get through this, it's going to be the most beautiful place. We're going to have fair elections. We're going to put God back in our schools. Oh, and we will once again be one nation under God. We're living. Yeah.
And of course, putting God back into schools would go completely against the Constitution of the United States and separation of church and state. So this man is a hero. In a normal timeline and a normal universe, nobody would ever have voted for Trump. And people like Pillow would never be revered as heroes. But alas, we are not in normal times. And these are the heroes that the right-wing cult has. One of the things that some Republicans have realized, they've come to understand this, is that they have sort of lost control of the monster they created and thought would be a great thing for them. And that monster is the Trumpists in the Republican Party. Kevin McCarthy caught on audio, we now know, we talked about it earlier in the show, back in January of 2021 saying Trump should resign, Trump should resign. He realized that they lost control. They were going to ride the monster. Oh, look at the. They're going to vote. They're voting for Trump. I guess we're going to have a Republican president. Let's go with it. They're willing to vote for Trump. And then they became a monster they lost control of, and they rioted on January 6th, and the rest is sort of history. We've also seen them lose control of the monster when it comes to vaccines. And Donald Trump recently gave a speech on Amelia Island in Florida. And he wanted to praise the vaccine and take credit for it. But he knows that his base might crush him. And he acknowledges sometimes people get angry when I talk about the vaccine.
One of our greatest achievements was getting the vaccine done in 9 months instead of 5.5 to 12 years. But the problem is, you know, we saved tens of millions of lives all over the world, but I can't talk about it because our base, our beautiful base of which some of you are there, you get angry when we mention the word vaccine. Don't get angry. We did it in 9 months, less than 9 months, right? Less than 9 months.
Trump wants his base to be skeptical of science when it's politically inconvenient. Whatever it might be, masks, public safety guidelines, whatever. Don't take unproven stuff for COVID. But when it's to his benefit, he wants them to believe in that very science that he has primed them not to believe. Believe in science when it makes me look good. And this is not a new thing. Trump knows he's ruined his own base. Back in August of 2021, Trump actually got booed when he talked about the vaccine and how great it is.
3 days, less than 9 months, and it's great. And you know what? I believe totally in your freedoms. I do. You got to do what you have to do. But I recommend take the vaccines. I did it. It's good. Take the vaccines. But you got, no, that's okay.
Uh-oh.
It's all right. You got your freedoms. But I happen to take the vaccine. If it doesn't work, you'll be the first to know. Okay? I'll call up Alabama and say, hey, you know what?
But it's so regularly getting booed. Then he did this weird thing with Bill O'Reilly where there were often unsold seats, and they both said they got the vaccine and people didn't like it.
Both the president and I are vaxxed, and did you get the booster?
Yes.
I got it too. Okay, so...
Don't. That's all. It's a very tiny group of...
Trump wanting to minimize the booing, but it was certainly there. And then lastly, from this very strange speech, this is just funny because of what it points to for the next few years. Here's how Trump says we're going to unite the country.
The one that we have. The path back to American unity is not to surrender the culture wars. The path back to national unity is to decisively win the culture wars.
Now, of course, the idea that you're going to unite the country by winning imaginary culture wars that you created in order to divide the country is absurd. It is absurd. But I don't think Republicans have any other idea. So if I had to guess, in 22 and in 24, their platform will be, now we're not going to fix climate, we're not going to fix healthcare, we're not going to fix immigration, we're not going to fix taxes, we're not going to fix anything. We're just going to win imaginary culture wars that we created and then say, hey, we put out a fire we started, sort of, except it's still on fire. And you should vote for us thanks to that. They're telling us what the strategy will be, and I believe them. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but I do want to let you know that this guy, Christopher Key, who is now known for injecting urine for COVID, he's been arrested. This is the guy who I previously told you was recommending people drink urine And then last week started recommending people inject urine. He has been arrested. Organizers tasked with putting on a Jacksonville, Florida conference headlined by COVID truthers Robert Malone and Peter McCullough had enough of anti-vaxxer Christopher Key's shenanigans. They reported the vaccine police leader to police as a trespasser, which sent him back to jail again, where he is now awaiting a preliminary hearing. He could be heard on video berating an organizer of the far-right gathering after he claimed that she mandated he move his car off a sideway. Is that a sidewalk? Is that the same thing? Then he claimed he went to the building at the Take Action for Freedom tour to take a tinkle, and that led to police being called. He said he was being asked to leave. An unidentified gathering organizer said to the officer that Key was causing a disturbance. You've caused a big disturbance. Key apparently still wouldn't leave after being given a trespass warning, and then he was indeed arrested. Now, what's fascinating is he wasn't arrested for injecting urine. That apparently is legal as long as you do it to yourself, I guess. I mean, it's not a good idea. It's dangerous. If you hit it, it can be very, very bad. But just trespassing. And again, what is fascinating to me about this stuff, as I've said before, you look at Flat Earth. You put two Flat Earthers in a room together. They both agree the Earth is flat, but for conflicting reasons. One will say, well, here's the proof that the Earth is flat. And the other will say, no, that can't be true, because here's my proof, and it directly conflicts with it. These anti-vax and sort of like COVID alternative treatment people, they are often in conflict about why the vaccines are bad or about what you should do instead. And you've got a big group of people who talks about zinc and ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, et cetera. They don't want anybody injecting urine. They agree the vaccines are bad, but they're like, inject urine. No, that doesn't make any sense. Then you've got the drink and nebulize and inject urine people who are like, zinc? No way in hell. Zinc's a heavy metal poison. You know, who the hell knows? They conflict with each other. These people are all bonkers. They're still holding conferences, but it's at least funny that Christopher Key ended up getting himself arrested. Maybe for attention, but I don't really know what the end game is if he's trying to get attention. We have a voicemail number. That number is 219-2-DAVID-P. Last week, I said, I don't think it's a great idea for Bernie to run again. I gave my reasons why. As a Bernie supporter myself in 2016 and 2020, 98% of the reactions from the audience were substantive and respectful. 2% of the reactions were people calling me all sorts of names because I thought, I think Bernie's time has come and gone. He'd be 88 years old at the end of his term. I don't think it makes sense. But here's a question that I think is a good one, which came up in response. Take a listen.
Hey, David. Kyle from Florida here. I really liked your take about Bernie not running or running potentially in 2024. I was just curious, who would you like to see running if not Bernie?
Okay.
That's the one thing I'm curious about is who could take up that mantle, so to speak. I do like your take there. I think that you make a lot of good points. Although you agree on a lot of things, he might not be the person anymore for the moment.
All right, so listen, this is a good question. Who am I interested in for 2024? I'm going to give you some names right now. I am not telling you that I agree with every one of these people's politics more than I agree with Bernie's. I'm just giving names of people that I think are interesting and bring the energy I would like to see. These are people of varying political orientations, some of them because of identity issues. I don't know if they would really do well, but here's just people I think are interesting and are smart and bring good energy, and they're not in any particular order. Congressman Jamie Raskin, I think, is excellent. I think he's brilliant. He actually is a progressive activist. You look at his background and he's a progressive activist. That's where he comes from. He is very well spoken and brings some good energy. That's one person that I think is interesting. Katie Porter, the Democratic congresswoman. I know a lot of people will say, David, does she have the experience or would people vote for her? I'm just saying I really like Katie Porter's energy, and I think she's super smart, excellent in adversarial and debate type situations. I think Katie Porter is a rising star in the Democratic Party. Georgia Senator John Ossoff, very young guy. I love his energy. I think he's brilliant. I think he's a fantastic speaker. Interesting guy. Pete Buttigieg. Do I love Pete's politics exactly? No, he's to my right. There's no question about that. But he is so good when he goes on with adversarial media. He's good at succinctly and pointedly disarming, I guess we would say, and delegitimizing right-wing arguments. I would love to see what he would do in a more prominent position. And then I think Stacey Abrams is super interesting, and I think that she's extremely smart and well-spoken as well, like many of these other people. So those are five Democrats that I think are interesting, that bring more the energy that I want to see, with a range of different backgrounds and experiences and identities. So those are just five ideas, and I'm not saying they would win a primary. They all have reasons why we might say, well, they're not like your typical fast-track Democratic primary candidate, but those are five names I'm interested in. We have a great bonus show for you today. The French people have re-elected their president, Emmanuel Macron, and that's good, but at the same time, it was much closer this time with Marine Le Pen, and we're going to talk about that on the bonus show. Former Senator Orrin Hatch, the longest-serving Republican senator, has passed away at the age of 88. We will talk about his legacy. And Twitter has banned ads that deny climate change. Are people going nuts? Of course. Free speech, First Amendment, etc. We will talk about it all on today's bonus show. Sign up at joinpacman.com. You'll get instant access to the bonus show, lots of other great perks, and you'll get the show every day, 6 hours before everybody else. Sign up at joinpacman.com.
EJ Heim from Forest, and you're listening to 88.3 WRCT.
Nuclear Holocaust. It's a very serious problem, and one that faces all of us. Fortunately, here at WRCT Pittsburgh, we broadcast from a steel-reinforced concrete basement. So we'll be playing music long after your sorry corpse has evaporated in a blinding flash of light and heat. I hope this thought comforts you. WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Now and forever.
WRCT Pittsburgh, media full of flavor since 1949.
Yo, what's up? How y'all doing out there in Techno Land? RCT Techno DJs in the house! Oh yeah, bringing you the only fat beats in Pittsburgh. Right here, WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM.
Would you like to take the sounds of your favorite radio station to places you never thought possible? Well, now you can, because WRCT is live on the internet. Just point your browser to www.wrct.org and click on our live MP3 broadcast. Now you can go out of town without any feelings of loss or regret for leaving us behind, because we're just a mouse click away. WRCT, live on the internet, because why should Pittsburgh have all the fun?
Hello, my fellow Americans. I would just like to say now, as an expert on the subject, WRCT Pittsburgh does not blow. Thank you.
WRCT. Insane. From way out.
Pose from the fame. Do you think I'm hot? You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
genetically modified during years of past abuse.
That the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WRCT Pittsburgh and its members.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
We understand that migration is a huge issue for the United States. In the case of Cuba, we have agreements in place from decades ago, and the Trump administration chose not to comply with them, and the Biden administration has continued the same approach.
The U.S. and Cuba hold high-level talks for the first time in 4 years with a focus on migration. We'll speak to Cuba's deputy foreign minister. Then the world's richest man, Elon Musk, has reached a deal to buy Twitter for $44 billion.
Musk or no Musk, Twitter and other social media platforms have a responsibility to ensure that they are not amplifying hate and disinformation, conspiracy theories, and bigotry.
We'll speak to Jessica Gonzalez of Free Press and Evan Henshaw Plack, a.k.a. Rabble. He was the first employee and lead engineer of the company that created Twitter. Plus, we talked to Steve Donziger, the environmental lawyer who sued Chevron for ecological devastation in the Ecuadorian Amazon after Chevron was ordered to pay billions. The company went after Donziger personally. After nearly 1,000 days under house arrest, Donziger is a free man today. We'll speak to him for the first time in a studio. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres travels to Moscow today to meet at the Kremlin with Russia's foreign minister and its president, Vladimir Putin. His trip comes as the UN struggles to bring humanitarian relief to civilians trapped by Russia's assault on eastern Ukraine. Guterres will again press Russian and Ukrainian troops to silence their guns after his previous calls for a ceasefire went unheeded. After the Secretary General's visit to Moscow, Russia's deputy ambassador to the United Nations said a truce was unlikely.
So we don't think that ceasefire is a good option right now, because the only advantage it will give, possibility for Ukrainian forces to regroup.
Moldova's president has convened an emergency meeting of her nation's Supreme Security Council after a series of explosions rocked a region near Ukraine's southern border that's home to a pro-Russia separatist movement. Early this morning, twin explosions destroyed a Soviet-era radio tower that was used to broadcast Russian programs across Moldova. Elsewhere, unknown assailants fired grenades at a state security building in the provincial Moldovan capital of Transnistria. The region in eastern Moldova is home to pro-Russia separatists, and Russian troops have been permanently based there since the collapse of the Soviet Union. U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's visiting Germany's Ramstein Air Base today, joining officials from more than 40 countries for U.S.-hosted talks on providing military support to Ukraine. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov responded by accusing NATO of fighting a proxy war against Russia. On Monday, three NATO warships arrived at a port in southwestern Finland, less than 200 miles from Russia's border. Sweden and Finland have reportedly agreed to submit simultaneous membership applications applications to join NATO as early as the middle of next month. In Norway, police arrested 20 protesters Monday after they blocked a massive shipment of Russian oil from reaching shore. Members of Greenpeace held signs reading, "Oil fuels war," as they chained themselves to the anchor chain of the massive Ust-Luga oil tanker, which was waiting to offload nearly 100,000 metric tons of fuel to a terminal operated by ExxonMobil. This is Frode Plen, head of Greenpeace Norway.
This oil tanker is fully